Okay, welcome back. Well, this video and with the recent events taking place in the world, America, Iran, and so many other shakings we are seeing. Mm. So it leaves us this question that will there be a world war? We want to still know. We know we've asked you in previous episodes, sir, but we still want to be properly established.
And, you know, with all due respect to this
video. Documentary.
It's a documentary. Mm. Will I say it's a documentary? No, it's not. It's not a documentary. It's his own interpretation of the Bible.
Wow.
You know, because that's actually not a documentary.
Okay.
It is actually a biblical exposition. His own attempt. His own attempt to interpret scriptures in the light of
events.
You know, events going on now. And I'm saying that I disagree with him. I disagree with him. First and foremost, I want you to take note of this.
Okay.
This Bible here, the focus is Israel.
Let's note that the focus of the Bible
focus
is Israel.
Of this Bible is Israel.
Amen.
Jeremiah did not prophesy to the Gentiles.
Wow.
He prophesied to Israel.
Amen.
About how God, anytime he mentioned about, it is always to Israel, concerning Israel, and in relation to their enemies.
Okay.
It's always the enemies of Israel. And then the activities of Israel themselves, so that don't give it a worldwide prophecy. There's nothing like that. And as at the time these prophecies were going on, there was no America.
That's right.
As at the time these prophecies were going on, the focus of this Bible is the world around Israel, which is Europe and the Middle East. Even when you hear his talk, the whole world, that is the world. That is the world. That was all they knew.
Known as the old world.
The old that's world. So now, if in the light of this, I want you to note that, you know, let me start with Ezekiel 31, Jeremiah 31.
Okay.
From verse 35.
Okay, Jeremiah 31 from verse 35.
Yes.
Okay. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is his name.
Uh-huh.
If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord.
No, please be very careful, because God is swearing there. He is actually swearing.
Verse 36, if those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me.
Can you see?
Forever.
That means Israel will never stop being a nation.
Amen.
Okay, go on.
Okay. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord, from the tower of Ananiel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gareb, and shall compass about to go out. And the whole valley of dead bodies, and of the ashes, and of the and of all the fields unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of the Oz gates toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down anymore forever.
Now, go to you read Jeremiah 31.
Yes, sir.
Now go back to Jeremiah 31 and verse 31.
Okay, verse 31.
Verse 31 to verse 34.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Okay, okay. So he has promised them already. Here he's promising them a new covenant.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
Okay, let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel now, chapter 36.
Ezekiel chapter 36, verse.
Yes, from verse 8.
From verse 8.
Yes.
But ye, O mountains of Israel.
Eh?
But ye, O mountains of Israel.
No, no, I want you to watch. You know, this is Bible prophecy. Who is he prophesying to?
The mountains of Israel.
Not to the Jews yet. He's talking to the city.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
He's talking to the city.
To the land.
To the land, I mean to say.
Right.
Okay, that's, we are reading Ezekiel chapter 36.
Ezekiel 36 verse 8.
Very good.
But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruits to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the cities shall be inhabited, and the wastes shall be builded.
And you know how he will do it? He kept explaining what that will happen there. How will he do it? Verse 24.
Verse 24.
Right. Yes.
For I will take you from among the Eden.
He will take him from where?
Among the Eden. And gather you out of all countries. And will bring you into your own land.
And do you know, if he says so, it means they were no more in their city.
That's right.
Okay. That because they were no more in their city. Now you know how he even said he will bring them. Now you go back again to Jeremiah 16.
Okay.
Amen.
The fishers and the hunters.
Very good.
Okay, Jeremiah 16.
Yes.
Verse 16.
Yes.
Behold, I will send for many fishers from all the lands.
No. The next verse 14.
14. Therefore, behold, the days come.
Thank you. That's where I'm going. Yes.
Fear the Lord.
Yes.
That it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after I will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, and from every hill, and out of all the rocks.
What will he use?
Fishers.
What will he use?
Fishers that shall fish
fishers
them.
And hunters.
And hunters that shall hunt them.
That is, he will hunt them to do what? To fish them and bring them back to their land.
Amen.
Remember that, before we come to Jeremiah 16.
Yes, sir.
Joel chapter 2.
Joel 2.
Verse 25.
Okay. Joel 2:25.
Yes.
And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army.
What did he call them?
My great army.
What did he call them?
My great army.
My great army.
Which I sent among you.
And do you know those great armies? They are the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire.
Hallelujah.
These were the Gentile kingdoms.
Amen.
That each time Israel misbehaved, he allowed them to come and scatter them and keep them in captivity.
Amen.
But although he scattered them, the prophecy that says, can a nation be born in one day?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen.
You know, this is why, you know, he said God watches over his word to perform it.
Amen.
When he speaks, he watches over his word to perform it.
Okay, now, that's Isaiah 66 verse 8.
Yes.
Right.
Read it again for us.
Isaiah 66 verse 8.
Yes.
Who has heard such a thing?
Uh-huh.
Who has seen such things?
Uh-huh.
Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day?
Uh-huh.
Or shall a nation be born at once?
Uh-huh.
For as soon as Zion traveled.
Traveled.
She brought forth her children.
Now, where did she travel? Through the hunters.
Hallelujah. The Holocaust.
The Holocaust.
That's right.
The fishers are the Zionist movement.
Amen.
They were convincing them. And they came, they were buying their land, small. Saying, go back to your land, go back to the land.
Amen.
Now. They were already they were enjoying Babylon. They were enjoying the Europe. They had their stock and everything. They had houses and property. And they were enjoying themselves there. They married wives there. And then they are now, you know, so you are telling them to go back. Go back. They didn't know it was God's move.
Mm.
And when they refused, he then sent the hunters. What does a hunter do?
Point and kill.
Point and kill. What does a fisher do with style?
That's right.
Fisherman. So that was what the days of
Hitler.
And the Holocaust and all the persecution. And you know that that was the climax of their suffering.
Amen. That's right.
Now he said a nation was born in one day.
One
day. That nation that was born in one day, this is what is here in Ezekiel chapter 37.
Okay. Ezekiel 37.
Yes, from verse 1. That is the story there. Yes.
The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. And set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live?
Uh-huh.
And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest.
Uh-huh.
Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live.
Uh-huh.
And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live.
And ye shall live.
And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them.
Yes.
And the skin covered them above.
Yes.
But there was no breath in them.
Uh-huh.
Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind.
Uh-huh.
Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them. And they lived. And stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army.
Now, you notice that all these were symbolic.
Amen.
That's right.
The wind that were blowing, all symbolic of how Israel will come back to life again.
Amen.
Remember that they were scattered in AD 70.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is what the prophets prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus himself summarized it
in
his own prophecies of the destruction of Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's now going to restore them. He's now showing his prophet, Ezekiel, what will happen. Now verse 11.
Okay.
From verse 11.
Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel.
Can you see?
Amen.
What are those dry bones?
The whole house
in
of
the
Israel.
Valley that they thought he can never live again.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Behold, they say, our bones are dry, and our hope is lost.
Uh-huh.
We are cut off for our path.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, prophesy and say unto them,
Thus
saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it,
saith
the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that is the prophecy that was fulfilled together with Isaiah 66,
verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
The nation was born in one day.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And there are other prophecies that give the assurance that when they will come back to their land, nothing will remove them again.
Mm.
Do you know why? Because they are coming to receive their Messiah.
Amen. Amen.
Do you know why? Because the gospel is set to come back to them.
Mm.
The gospel will be ending with the Gentiles.
Amen. Mm.
And so they have to get themselves ready.
Mm.
And immediately they came in there and sat there. The Arab nations have not let Israel be till today.
That's true. Mm. It has been war from the
It has been war. We heard of the six-day war. We heard of other wars. But each time you will see God come down.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you know that Iran has sworn that Israel must be wiped out of existence.
That's
right.
And always, when the enemy rises like
a flood,
what does the Spirit of God do?
He raises up a standard
against
the enemy.
Now, America is the standard that God raised.
Hallelujah. Wow.
To back up Israel until Israel stands.
Amen.
It's until, because God will not share his glory with America.
So it means something is going to happen.
God bless you, brother.
Therefore, the culmination of these wars and hostilities, you know, what the whole thing will end up, the climax, I mean to say, of all this hatred of these Arab nations, we cause them to come together in a league. Already there's an Arab league. Mm, and they all have a common enemy. And all of them is Israel. As far as they are concerned, that land belongs to the Palestinians. Palestinians. Otherwise known as the Philistines.
That's true.
And they are their brothers. It is a continuation of Ishmael and Isaac war. They are with perfect hatred. In fact, I even understand that, you know, if you have a visa, Israeli visa on your passport, they won't allow you to enter any of these Arab countries.
Wow. Really?
That's the reason why you won't see Israel stamp your passport. There is something, there's a paper they will just attach to it, if it's for your own good. They know they have enemies everywhere. No Israeli company should do business with the Arabs, oil and all that. So what they do is they be behind somewhere, register the company in another foreign country, this thing. They're the one running it. So who owns this? They put your names there as the director, and then they're doing their businesses because they hate them with perfect hatred. And Israel knows. As tiny as they are, no matter what they do, they are not able to bring them down. The nations all around them, you can see no peace.
That's
all
true.
Around.
It's
no peace.
War.
So the climax of it all will now be that war in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. Remember, 37 brings them to their land.
Yes, sir.
38, 39 is coming together in a league as described there. So that is the war that Bible prophecy interpreters take as the Third World War. But I say it is not a Third World War. It is a war between Israel and her Arab enemies.
Like we asked you earlier, so
yes,
we should not be expecting Nigeria to be involved in this.
No. I explained the last time we came here. I said, how does it affect Nigeria?
Okay.
I mean, how does it affect Nigeria? You know, it will affect Russia. It will affect the superpowers. Russia.
The EU.
The
European Union.
And
America.
In short, the NATO.
NATO.
North Atlantic Treaty Organization that was formed, you know, solely to defend their interests everywhere.
That's true.
To make sure a world war does not come up again. When they see a threat anywhere, they go, to stop it. Now, it will involve them in the sense that they all have economic interests there.
Wow.
And it will involve them because they are going to use their weapons. All the battles that are fought, including ISIS, ISWA, Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda, and all these people, who supplies the weapons for them?
Russia?
Do we have anybody manufacturing a weapon in Africa? Who is benefiting from it? They are the manufacturers of those weapons. That manufacture for that benefit from it. Look, anything that America, Russia, all these people do not want to circulate around the world, they will stop it.
Wow. That's a very strong statement.
They will stop it. They know how to stop it. You see? Have you not observed that the Palestinians, watch what is happening at the Gaza Strip.
Okay.
And all, do you notice that they are not using arms? They're using bombs. Stones.
Stones. Yeah. Okay.
Because these superpowers, because of their interest in Israel, they make sure no arm comes around them. Mm. But it can circulate in West Africa, circulate anywhere else, but not there. It, the only people that have this weapon are the Hezbollah. Mm.
Yeah. And Hamas.
And Hamas, the militant group. Mm-hmm. And we know, all know where they get their weapons from.
Wow.
It is Russia that is arming them. Mm-hmm. But you see, even with that, they are, you know, really, really hidden. You know, very secret.
That's true.
So that I just want you to note that if anybody is thinking that there will be a world war, I am speaking from my understanding of the scripture that why will you think that the whole Arabs coming together to fight Israel will result to a world war? Well, how does this sound? Mm.
So we saw the devastating effect of the First World War. Mm-hmm. We saw how bad, how terrible. Second World War was.
Terrible.
So what's...
The Second World War,
yes, sir,
gave birth to the United Nations
Organization. That's true.
That's true, sir.
And the purpose is to maintain peace.
Amen.
So, if anybody is going to rise with a kind of, it is not to stop wars everywhere, because we have the members of the Security Council, and China is there, America is there, mm-hmm. Russia is there, even France is there, Germany. All these, you know, the stronger powers, they are there.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And they have vetoes because they are members of the Security Council. Now, you discover that America, for instance, they struck Iraq. Mm-hmm. They fought a war with Iraq. Why couldn't the United Nations stop it? And why couldn't America be sanctioned for that? When Israel, when Arab nations will come together to face Israel, all that the superpowers will try to do will be to stop the war.
Okay.
But before they will do that, God of heaven will come down himself.
Hallelujah.
To stop them.
Amen.
Before they do it. So, like we all try to, as far as I'm concerned, you know, there's no scripture for that. We just put the bits together. If America is the one that is behind Israel, then for a nation to rise against Israel, then and succeed to come, then something should have happened to America.
That's right.
Yes.
Something should have happened to America. Therefore, we therefore believe, and then following the prophecies that William Branham said he saw,
debris,
you know, debris and everywhere in America. But I said that, and when I say this, I'm not being sacrilegious. And please, you fanatics of, you know, the ministry of William Branham, please bear with me,
okay,
especially you.
Yeah, okay,
you know,
all right, sir.
Yes, God is not going to come according to William Branham.
Okay. Amen, hallelujah.
It's going to come as it is written here.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So whatever will happen to America is not written in the Bible. Wow. That preposition that we suppose.
Yes, America's destruction.
America's destruction. Yeah. There's no scripture to prove it. I have tried to look at this very, very critically. There is no scripture to prove it. Now, that video looks at the symbols that describes
Mystery Babylon.
And see those symbols in America.
Statue of Liberty.
Oh, no, but first, you know, this is why he's quoting. It's Revelation, the destruction of the
Babylon.
Yes.
Revelation 18.
You know, Revelation chapter 18. Now.
Okay.
From verse 1.
Yes. Okay.
And after these things, yes, I saw another angel come down from heaven, mm-hmm, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory.
The whole earth was lightened with his glory.
And he cried mightily with a strong voice, yes, saying, Babylon the Great is falling.
Mm. What is falling?
Babylon the Great. The
now, the narrator of the video. Mm. Says, this Babylon referred to here, America. He says it's America.
Yes, sir.
Okay, read on. It says it's falling.
Babylon the Great is falling. Uh-huh. It's falling. And uh-huh, it's become the habitation of devils, uh-huh, and the hold of every foul spirit, uh-huh, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bed.
Uh-huh.
For
three.
All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of our fornication. Uh-huh. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her.
Uh-huh.
And the merchant of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies.
And then it's interpreting this to mean commerce. You see, it's interpreted to mean commerce. And since America is a superpower in commerce, when he said the drunk with the wine, the wrath of her fornication and all this, and then it makes it look that America is the greatest exporter of immorality, pornography, and everything.
That's true.
So he's taking this symbol and associating it with America. Now, go, you see, number four.
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
Now, the narrator did not link verse four.
That's true. Mm.
So how will he say, come out of her? How will he link it to America? To come out of America?
Stop going there.
Stop going to America? All Americans should come out. Or Christians in America should leave America. So you see that it doesn't match that.
That's right.
Okay, read on.
For our sins have reached unto heaven, uh-huh, and God has remembered our iniquities. Uh-huh. Reward her even as she rewarded you,
uh-huh,
and double unto her double according to her works.
Uh-huh.
In the cup where she had filled, fill to her double.
Uh-huh.
How much she had glorified herself and lived deliciously.
And I want you to understand the gender that is used there
is she.
Okay.
Okay, verse 7. How much she had glorified herself and lived deliciously.
Uh-huh.
So much torment and sorrow give her.
Uh-huh.
For she has said in her
heart,
I sit a queen. And I'm no widow. Uh-huh. I shall see no sorrow.
Uh-huh.
Therefore shall her plagues come in one day.
Uh-huh.
Death and mourning and famine.
Uh-huh.
And she shall be utterly burned with fire.
Uh-huh.
For strong is the Lord God who judges her.
Uh-huh. And verse 9.
And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment.
Now, I want you to note something. They shall bewail her and lament for her.
Mm.
Now, a strong economy like America, if it destroys, how does it affect us in Nigeria here that we'll be pitying her, that we shall cry? It's not our gain.
That's right.
It's not our gain.
It's our gain.
It's not the gain of China.
Yeah, of course.
It's not the gain of Russia. It's not the gain of Europe.
Of course.
That's true.
The whole of Europe.
That's true.
They take over.
That's right.
Go on.
Standing afar off for the fear of atonement,
yes,
saying, alas, alas.
Alas, alas, what?
That great city.
Alas, alas, what?
That great city.
That great city.
Babylon.
Not that great nation. It is a city.
Okay.
Mm. Okay, go on.
That great city, that mighty city.
Uh-huh.
For in 1 hour is thy judgment come.
Uh-huh.
And the merchant of the earth shall weep and mourn over her.
Uh-huh.
For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore.
No man buyeth her merchandise anymore. Mm. It means the merchandise are still there now.
Mm.
But true. Nobody is buying it anymore.
Right. Mm.
Not that the merchandise are destroyed.
Mm.
The merchandise are still there. Mm. Go on.
And okay, verse 12.
Verse 12.
The merchandise of gold and silver
and
precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all dyeing wood.
Go to verse 14.
And the fruit.
Verse 15.
Verse 15. The merchant of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing.
Yes.
And saying, alas, alas,
that
great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls.
Mm.
For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught.
Mm.
And, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city?
What city is like unto this great city?
And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein we are made rich all that are ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate.
Now, in 1 hour she made desolate. Now, which city is this? Go to chapter 17.
Hallelujah.
And that is the Babylon.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Okay. From verse 1.
Yes.
And there came one of the seven angels, which are the seven vows, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great hall that sitteth upon many waters.
Can you see now?
The great hall.
The great hall. When you say a hall there, that's a prostitute.
That's right.
That will not remain true to her husband. Mm-hmm. So that means, first and foremost, that woman is an immoral woman. Go ahead. Let's read that.
With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication.
The kings of the earth are joined to her.
And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness.
Yes.
And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns.
Now, see the verse 3 again.
So he carried me away.
What did he say he wants to show you?
The woman, the great whore.
He's going to show you a woman.
That's right.
But it's a whore. Now, when he's going to show you that whore, verse 3. So he carried you away in the spirit.
And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast.
Now, that is speaking of royalty, authority, power.
Full of names of blasphemy.
But this time now, it is having names of blasphemy. Can you tell me what blasphemy is America? Any name of blasphemy in America?
United States.
United States. What is blasphemous about it? United States. And which state in America is there any blasphemous name?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Los Angeles. Is that what they are talking about? Go ahead.
Okay, full of names of blasphemy. Having seven heads.
Having seven heads.
And ten horns.
And the ten horns. Where are those seven heads and ten horns that is referring to as America?
America has only stars on her emblems.
Thank you very much. And they are 13.
13.
Okay. Go on.
And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color.
Yes.
And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls.
Let you know how wealthy she is.
Yes. Having a golden cup in her hand.
Yes.
Full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written.
Now, see it now.
Mystery.
Babylon
the Great. The mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Yes.
Now I want you people to take note of something. Except, if I'm wrong, please, you correct me, because some of you read more than me. It didn't say that city is called Mystery Babylon. Have you taken note of that?
That's right.
The woman upon the forehead.
But
the
that video is referring, is calling it Mystery Babylon.
Okay.
That scripture says, among the names that are written there, what did it say?
Mystery.
Mystery.
Babylon the Great.
What's the next thing?
Babylon the Great.
She's called Babylon the Great.
The mother of harlots and abominations.
It's called again the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth.
Three names.
Those are her identification. She was not called Mystery Babylon.
That's true. It's clear.
Okay, go ahead. Verse 6.
And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus.
Now, I'm coming. That woman was drunken with the blood of the saints. Did America persecute the saints at any time?
No, they began with the Christian.
They were the one even protecting the saints.
That's true.
Therefore, that video is erroneous.
Amen.
Go on.
Okay. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus.
Yes.
And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
With great admiration.
And the angel said unto me, wherefore is that marvel?
Yes.
I will tell thee the mystery of the woman.
Now, the mystery of the woman.
And of the beast that carried her.
And that beast that carried her.
Which are the seven heads and ten horns.
Thank you very much. Go on.
The beast that thou sawest was and is
it
not.
It was before. Mm-hmm. It existed before.
And is not.
As at the time that he is writing this, it's not.
And shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wander, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world.
Yes.
When they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is.
Go to verse 9.
And here is the mind which hath wisdom.
Now, they want to reveal something.
Amen. Wisdom is needed.
Go on.
The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth.
So which seven mountain is America sitting upon?
None.
No, sir.
Go on.
And there are seven kings. Five are fallen and one is.
Which America, did America, was America ruled by kings?
At all.
No.
Therefore, that mystery Bible is talking about is not America.
Amen.
I'm proving him.
Yes, sir.
Go on.
Okay, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horses which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. This shall make war with the lamb.
Now, you see now,
and the lamb shall overcome
they
them.
They will make war with the lamb.
And the lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings.
Yes.
And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me.
Now, watch it very well. See interpretation.
The waters which thou sawest.
That because he said that that woman seated
upon many waters. That's right.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, he wants to give us the interpretation now.
The waters which thou sawest.
That water that you saw.
Where they all seated.
Yes.
Are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues.
But this man says, is the Atlantic Ocean and all these seas that surround them?
Maybe he didn't read this part.
Maybe he didn't read this part.
And the ten horns which thou sawest upon
and
the beast.
And the ten horns on that beast.
This shall aid the all,
and
shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, unto the words of God be fulfilled.
Yeah, verse 18, not verse 18.
And the woman with thou sawest is that great city.
It's a city
which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
And it reigneth over the kings of the earth. And I want you to note that any time, at the time that this was being written, the known world referred to as the whole earth there is just Europe and the Middle East.
Amen.
That's right.
So who is this king now that is ruling
over the kings,
over the kings
the great city
of all that place. Now, with all this, without me breaking it down, you now know that this is happening in Europe.
Amen.
Amen.
The Holy Roman Empire.
And it is the old Roman Empire.
Amen.
And disguised as
and
Papa.
Now, but there is a city there.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's why it is a mystery. And that city is the Vatican.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And it is there, as tiny as it is, it's supposed, it's a nation within a nation.
Amen.
And has so much power, if you read the history, until it controls the whole of Europe.
Amen.
And it's still controlling it today.
The Holy See.
And those blasphemy, the names of blasphemy are holiness, the
Vicar
Pope
of Christ,
the Vicar of Christ,
Kyrios Philidei,
and all those titles that they bear.
Yes, sir.
They are blasphemous.
That's right.
So that's something I want you to note, that this mystery Bible, as he calls it, is not America.
Amen.
It is the Vatican.
Amen. It's clear, sir.
In Rome.
Okay.
Vatican.
Wow. Thank you so much for this exposition, sir. So, generally, the world over, you've made it clear things will not get better.
Politically,
then,
economically, socially.
Would there be a third war? You've made it clear that only Israel and the Arab nations will be in a
war.
In a battle, Ezekiel 38 and 39. So we should not be expecting any world war, as it is prophesied by several people.
The only world war that will come up is the Armageddon.
The Armageddon.
But that takes place after we are long gone.
Okay, that is after the rapture.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. You've heard the pastor, the only world war that will come up is the Armageddon.
As described in the Bible.
As described in the Bible. Yes. And that is after the rapture.
That
so
is after the rapture.
Since you are watching for the rapture.
Maybe one episode will give pastor time to give us
to teach on that.
On Armageddon.
Okay. I think that's very, very clear. Okay, sir, you've been talking about Israel. We are going to go into Israel. Mm. So they're expecting a war. They're expecting their restoration.
Yes.
Okay. Is there... So what next for them is their war, their restoration, and mm-hmm. then their war, and then they are also expecting the Messiah. But I want to know, sir, is there any role they will play in this end time? Mm-hmm. No, maybe you said it. I don't know if you can just summarize it for us.
When you say role...
I'm looking at before the rapture now.
Mm. You know, according to the divine agenda,
okay,
you notice that this divine agenda was given to Daniel.
That's true.
That's right.
Daniel chapter 9. Right. Maybe for the sake of people hearing us for the first time, because these days people don't study this. They study only warfare. My enemy fall down, die, or prosperity.
Okay.
And then, you know, to discern the sign of the time and the agenda of God and to know what time we are in. You know, that's why I thank God that you bring up such a topic as this for us let our people know.
That's right, sir.
Yes.
Okay, now, Daniel 9,
now,
sir.
Now, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, what does it say?
Okay, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with
now,
many.
Now, before chapter 27, let's go to chapter 26.
After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off.
Yes.
But not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Mm. And the end thereof shall be with a flood.
Can I quickly... interject here before we go to verse 26. Mm. Always note, and yes, I've said this before in one message or the other.
Okay.
If you observe,
yes, sir,
there seems to be something about Jerusalem.
Mm. True, sir. True.
That's right.
The Bible gave prophecy that God said he will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling.
Zechariah 12.
Zechariah.
Mm-hmm. You make it a cup of trembling. It will even be a burdensome stone.
Yes. Zechariah 12, verse 2.
Yes.
Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about.
Yes.
When they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem.
Yes. Mm. Now,
and in that day, verse 3. Mm-hmm. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people.
Mm-hmm. Now you notice that there's so much focus on Jerusalem.
Mm.
That's right.
One will expect that, okay, you've moved into that place, the Arabs were already there, you already met Tel Aviv, your capital.
Mm.
Why are you so interested in coming to Jerusalem?
Mm.
Secondly, why are the Arabs so interested, so much interested in Jerusalem?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not about the Arabs.
Mm.
Because when we read in Revelation chapter 17, talking about the beast with the 10 horns, mm-hmm. and it's talking about the principality, the satanic power.
Wow.
That beast there is Satan.
Amen.
You know, that is ruling those European nations, that is controlling that region.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that power, that is the description of it.
Hallelujah.
Mm.
Now, the same thing, the power, this time around is Satan himself that is interested in that city, in Jerusalem.
Okay.
Why Jerusalem? Why are they not? It's not just enough that it is the city of David.
Mm.
And why did David also choose that place? Mm. Why is God insisting that they must come back to Jerusalem? Why is there interest in it? And the only reason I have for that, and then why is God making this statement? I wish, okay. Now, chapter 11.
Okay.
Deuteronomy chapter 11. It just came to my mind. Read from verse 7.
From verse 7.
Now please take note very well. the land of Canaan.
But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land, whither ye go to possess it.
The land that you are going to possess it, yes?
And that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt.
Now watch it very well.
From whence he came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which thy Lord
verse 12 is my emphasis now. This verse 12. A land
which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it.
Always upon it.
From the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year.
There must be something special about that land.
Hallelujah.
Going back to Eden.
I believe that, remember that after the flood,
That's right.
The whole world was rearranged.
Correct.
But God knows
the exact spots.
The exact spots.
Amen.
I believe that where the city Jerusalem is, I believe that is where Eden was.
Amen.
That is where Adam was placed.
Amen.
And the reason is because Satan cannot defeat the purpose of God.
At all.
If God shifts away from where he intended Adam to be, and he's a restorer, God is a restorer.
Hallelujah.
For any reason, they were driven out. He intended this is where they should be. After you do whatever you want to do, he will still fulfill his purpose. He will still bring them there.
Restoration.
And I believe that is why he has made Jerusalem a body of stone, a cup of trembling. All nations body themselves about it. It's why? Because Satan is feeling defeated. That he drove these people away from here. They want to come back again. He wants to take over that land.
That's why there's a contention.
I believe that is the position of Eden.
Wow. Wonderful. So you have been to Jerusalem, so you've been to Eden.
Yes, I've been to Jerusalem. And
so
maybe I have been to
still
Eden.
Still on the question, sir, what role will they play? So wow. They're a bondisome stone, so, they're a cup of trembling.
Yes. So that I want you to note that right now the whole focus of Satan is Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Now, if you notice what Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Okay.
Thessalonians.
Yes.
2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Verse 3 and verse 4.
Verse 3 and 4.
Yes.
Let no man deceive you by any means.
Concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus.
For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first.
Yes.
And that man of sin be revealed.
The man of sin will be revealed.
The son of perdition.
The son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. Yes.
Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Where would that temple be?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
That's right.
You catch it now.
That's right.
Now, this man of sin is the same one that is described in Daniel chapter 9.
People of the prince, that's right.
Thank you very much. Read it for me.
And after 72 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off.
The Messiah will be cut off, and he was cut off in AD 33. AD 33, Messiah was cut off.
That's right.
Okay. Yes?
Okay, I'm reading Daniel 9:26.
And
the people of the prince that shall come.
Now, watch it. The people of this.
Of the prince.
Of the prince that shall come. That means there is a prince that shall come. Come where? Come to Israel.
The temple.
Come to Jerusalem. The people
of the prince, that shall come. Oh my.
It's a key there, isn't it?
Amen.
So there are people. Okay. Now, what will happen?
Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood.
Now, when did that place, that prophecy come
about?
AD 70. And who are those that came and destroyed
the
city?
The Romans.
The Romans. So it means the prince that shall come is coming from Rome. And that Rome is that city that is seated upon many waters. Mystery. Babylon the Great.
Mother
of all our Lord. Described in Revelation chapter 17.
My God.
Read on.
Verse 27.
Yes.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week.
Now, the people of the prince that shall come. Okay? So this prince that shall come, we are reading which verse now?
Verse 27.
Now, that prince that shall come, what will he do?
Shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week.
Now, the covenant that he's going to confirm with many here is many people, many nations. For 1 week here, it is for 7 years.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Because after the 69th week, he was given a program that was supposed to last for 70 weeks. Daniel chapter 9. Mm-hmm. It's 70 weeks of years.
Amen.
Okay? Now, and at the 69th, the Messiah came and he was cut off. But he said, but this is not for himself. Of course, he didn't commit anything. Now, the Messiah is cut off.
Amen.
And they rejected the Messiah. So he suspended dealing with them in that agenda.
Amen.
For the rest of the 1 week.
Amen.
Which is 7 years.
Yes, sir.
Now, and between the 69th week and the 70th week,
they visited the Gentiles.
They rejected him. Therefore, he turned to the Gentiles.
Mm.
And he has suspended that 1 week since they rejected him, since AD 70. And turned to the Gentiles to get himself a bride.
Right. Amen.
After he has gotten the bride, he takes them in the rapture, then comes back to finish the balance of that
17
period,
weeks.
7 years. Now, that last 1 week, now we commence with verse 27 again.
Okay. And he shall confirm the covenant to many for 1 week.
Now he will enter a 1 week covenant. The 1 week covenant there is 7 years
covenant.
Agreement. But this agreement, Isaiah call it the covenant of death.
That's true.
He called it the covenant of death. I think that's Isaiah 11 or so.
That's Isaiah 28, verse 15.
Oh, is that Isaiah 28? Sorry, Isaiah 28, yes.
Isaiah 28, 15.
Yes.
Because he have said, we have made a covenant with death.
Yes.
And with El are we at agreement.
Yes.
When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge. And under
so that covenant is a covenant of death.
Death.
Because he comes deceitfully. And that is when the fourth horse rider.
The pale horse rider.
That is when he begins to ride.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you read it in Revelation chapter 6.
Hallelujah.
Revelation chapter 6.
Yes.
Had meat.
Verse 7.
And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see.
Yes.
And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death.
Was what?
Death.
Death.
And hell followed with him.
Hell followed with him.
And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth.
He was given the power. Now, while we the enter message followers, have placed the fourth seal as this age that we are in, living now, and mention this death and all this, to be symbolic, spiritual death and things. No, it's physical.
Real torture.
Yes, because first it's a pale horse, the color of deceit.
Amen.
That is applicable in the 70th week.
Hallelujah.
That is why I said the third seal ends with the rapture.
Amen.
Which is, and they get so confused because of this error I've been teaching all these years.
That's true.
But the fourth horse rider, the pale horse rider, the fourth seal that is open, it is for Israel.
Amen.
And while that is going on, we have already gone in the rapture.
Amen.
So he now enters that covenant, and as we read, in the middle of it.
In the midst of the week.
In the middle of the week, 7 years, 1 week, 7 days, seven.
Yes,
So in the middle of it, what does he do?
He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation.
He will break the covenant. And the reason he breaks the covenant is because of what happens in Revelation chapter 11.
Wow. My God.
This is a real Bible study.
Revelation 11.
From verse 1.
Okay, and there was giving me a reed like unto a rod.
Yes.
And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple, yes, of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. Mm-hmm. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, mm-hmm, and measure it not. Mm-hmm. For it is given unto the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 40 and 2 months.
How long?
40 and 2 months.
42 months is 3.5 years.
Hallelujah.
30 days in a month. Mm. Correct?
Yes,
amen,
sir.
That is the first part.
First half of the seven years of that covenant.
Mm. Go ahead.
And I'll give power unto my two witnesses.
Now, these two witnesses, read on.
And they shall prophesy 1,203 score days.
Now, that is 1,260 days, mm-hmm, is 3.5 years. So, while the Antichrist moves in to Israel, mm, and is there with that agreement, and is seated in the temple to be worshipped as God, while he's there, for 3.5 years, during those 3.5 years, God has his
witnesses.
Two witnesses that will be prophesying within that same period.
Amen.
Go on.
These are the two olive trees, uh-huh, and the two candlesticks,
yes,
standing before the God of the earth.
Yes, and that is seen in Zechariah chapter 4.
That's right.
And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth, uh-huh, and devoured their enemies.
And who is that in the Bible that was known for doing that?
Elijah.
Elijah. Uh-huh.
If any man hurt them, he must in this manner be killed.
Uh-huh.
These have power to shut heaven,
uh-huh,
that it rain not in the days of their prophecy,
uh-huh,
and have power over waters to turn them to blood.
Who turned water into blood?
Moses.
And to
smite, uh-huh, the earth with all plagues.
Okay.
As often as they will.
Okay, mm, now, so who are these two witnesses?
Moses and Elijah.
The anointing of Moses and Elijah.
Hallelujah.
Now, that Elijah you see there is what the prophet Malachi prophesied in Revelation, Malachi 4. Chapter 4. Can you read it?
Okay. Mm. Malachi 4, Amen. 5.
Sorry,
six.
It's like I'm jumping scriptures. I'm going, but I'm tying something. I'm tying,
yes,
it up.
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet,
yes,
before, Amen, the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Yes.
And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. And the,
what will he do?
He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children.
He said, before what?
The coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
Yes.
And
he will turn the heart of the fathers
to the children.
To the children.
And the heart of the children to their fathers.
The heart of the children to their fathers.
Lest, yes, I come and smite you.
Now you will discover that in Matthew chapter 11, mm, Jesus Christ said John the Baptist was the Elijah that was to come.
Amen. That's right.
And what did he do?
Turn the heart of the fathers to the children.
He turned the heart of the denominational, the Pharisees and Sadducees to, mm, the new thing that was coming up to
Hallelujah.
Grace.
Amen.
Then, because it has a dual fulfillment, mm-hmm, okay, we call it the great and the dreadful day of the Lord.
That's right.
The great day of the Lord is the coming of the Lord.
Mm.
And the dreadful day is the day of destruction, mm, of the whole world.
Amen.
And then what did he say? Now,
the heart of the children to their fathers.
Now there will be another ministry that will turn the heart of the children
to their fathers,
to the apostolic fathers.
Under Elijah.
Under Elijah ministry now. This Elijah is the one that we sent. Mm. Sent to Israel for that purpose.
Amen.
Remember, while he is doing this, is during the first 3.5 years.
Amen.
And that is when the 7 years last period left of that 70 weeks period given to Daniel chapter 9, you know, is fulfilled, begins.
Amen.
Okay. Now, the prophesy. Can we go back to Revelation chapter 11?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Verse
7 now.
Seven.
And when they shall have finished their testimony,
yes,
the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them,
yes,
and shall overcome them and kill them.
And kill them. Mm.
And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city,
uh-huh,
which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt,
uh-huh,
where also our Lord was crucified.
Can you see? Uh-huh.
And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half,
uh-huh,
and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves.
Uh-huh.
And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another,
uh-huh,
because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth.
Uh-huh.
And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them.
Again.
And they stood upon their feet, mm-hmm, and great fear fell upon them which saw them.
Yes.
And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them.
Now, there is something here. Now, there, because These are activities that even take place after we are gone.
After we're gone, that's right.
But people need to know this. If you have the question you ask,
yes, mm-hmm. what role do they play?
What role do they play? Actually, your question, what will be happening to them?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What else? Now we are gone. What else? This is what happens.
All right.
The Antichrist comes, enters the covenant.
Just after the rapture.
Yeah, enters the covenant with them. Mm-hmm. But in the middle of the covenant, he breaks it. Does he break it? Because these two prophets, prophesy.
Okay.
Telling everybody, this one is Antichrist. But not just telling them it is Antichrist, the man that is sitting down there, opening their eyes. Not just exposing who is sitting down there. But he was also telling them something that eventually will help them when that man manifests his evil. And he starts it by killing those two prophets.
Okay.
But now, by the time he stands up, begins to break that covenant, that is when that great tribulation period starts.
Okay.
And the persecution is not for the whole world. Mm-hmm. The tribulation is not for the whole world. It's specifically targeting the Jews.
Amen.
Sir.
Sorry
for pausing you, sir.
Yes.
Because if it permits you, you're going to teach us the whole Bible.
Thank you.
But time will not allow us.
Okay.
We want to look at just before the rapture.
Okay.
We could refer to Pastor's message, events just after the rapture.
Thank you.
Well, sir, we've been having Messianic Jews. In fact, one came and dedicated our church.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Is there any sign we should be seeing from that angle now before the rapture?
No. Even right from the time of Paul, there were Jews that were believing.
Okay, so that's
some
not
we
a
believe.
Sign
he
that
called them his elect. They will be in the rapture.
Okay.
There's a name he called them remnant.
The remnant.
The remnant.
So the Jewish remnants will be in the rapture.
The remnant. The remnant, they will believe.
I think
because every nation will be represented in the rapture.
Okay.
My.
Including Israel.
There's something we observe in the Israel now politically. Let's look at them.
Yes.
They still seem to be divided. Yes, there's a song in our songbook that says Israel is awakening, and you always say Israel is reuniting. Israel is uniting.
Mm.
Yes. So the question is, will they get united, or will this division continue?
These political Jews.
Okay.
There's the spiritual Jew and the political Jews.
Mm.
These political Jews,
yes, sir,
they are those that the Antichrist will seize opportunity.
Okay.
You know, remember that Israel,
yes, sir,
as a nation, they are not ordained to be ruled by politics.
Mm. Mm. True.
They borrowed this from the West.
In Gentile. Mm.
Part of the hangover of their diaspora.
Wow.
They brought it when they came back. Mm. The spiritual Jew, as far as they are concerned, there is no government yet.
Mm.
They are still looking towards the temple. Mm. When there will be a high priest.
Hallelujah.
You know, and then, of course, there will be a king.
Amen.
Amen.
It is not democracy.
Okay.
So you have to,
political.
And generally in the Middle East, generally it's not democracy.
That's true.
They are usually kings.
Victors.
So you have to understand that.
Okay, sir.
So this thing that is happening is staged by Satan so that the Antichrist will
hijack it.
Mm.
Wow.
And then enter that covenant.
Wow.
Mm. Okay, before we take a short break, sir.
Makes a lot of sense.
okay. Before we go on a break, okay. So we should just be looking at Ezekiel 38 and 39 from Israel.
That's
as
all.
A sign.
That's all. It's okay. A sign. And that will be home going.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Wow. It's been very lovely.
For us.
Okay. So the only sign we should be expecting from the nation of Israel is the war, Ezekiel 38.
That is as far as the Bible is concerned, because the scriptures are fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
There was prophecy that he will gather them.
That's right.
And they have gathered.
Yes, we've seen that.
Mm-hmm. The scripture that says there will be nature will be born in one day.
One day.
It was just announced United Nations. Their flag was hanging there.
Okay.
And they all gathered there. Ezekiel, speak to the dry bones in the valley. Will they live again? Okay. Whoever thought that Israel will come back again?
They have
come back now. But when they come back, he said he will make Jerusalem a body stone. Is that not what is disturbing them? Which is why we give birth to the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Okay.
So that is what we are waiting for.
So that's what we are watching.
That's what we are watching
before the rapture.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll go on a short break, and when we come back, we'll keep on firing this bullet of revelation. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.